At the Inspirational Living Podcast, we honor the entrepreneurial spirit. But if you've ever started a new business, you know the challenges are many. It seems like your to-do list keeps growing every day. Finding the right tool that not only helps you out but simplifies everything can be a real game changer. For millions of small business owners, that tool is Shopify. Did you know that 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. is powered by Shopify? That's because Shopify makes it quick and easy to build a beautiful online store to match your brand. Backed with AI tools, they also accelerate content creation, such as product descriptions, page headlines, and product photography. Turn your big business idea into with Shopify on your side. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/inspirational. Go to shopify.com/inspirational. shopify.com/inspirational. Welcome to the Inspirational Living Podcast. Today's reading was edited and adapted from Self-Investment by Orison Swett Marnin, published in 1911. It does not matter whether you want to be a public speaker or not. A person should have such complete control of themselves, should be so self-reliant and self-poised, that they can get up in front of any audience, no matter how large or formidable, and express their thoughts clearly and distinctly. Self-expression in some manner is the only means of developing mental power. It may be in music, it may be on canvas, it may be through oratory, it may come through selling goods or writing a book, but it must come through self-expression. Self-expression in any legitimate form tends to call out what is in us, our resourcefulness and inventiveness. But no other form of self-expression develops us so thoroughly and so effectively and so quickly unfolds all of our powers as speaking before an audience. It is doubtful whether anyone can reach the highest standard of culture without studying the art of expression, especially public vocal expression. In all ages, public speaking has been regarded as the highest expression of human achievement. Young people, no matter what they intend to be, whether mechanic or farmer, merchant or physician, should make it a study. Nothing else will call out what is in us so quickly and so effectively as the constant effort to do our best in speaking before an audience. When we undertake to think on our feet and speak extemporaneously before the public, the power and the skill of the entire individual are put to a severe test. The practice of public speaking, the effort to marshal all one's forces in a logical and forceful manner, to bring to a focus all the power one possesses, is a great awakener of all the faculties. The sense of power that comes from holding the attention, stirring the emotions, or convincing the reason of an audience, gives self-confidence, assurance, self-reliance, arouses ambition, and tends to make one more effective in every way. One's judgment, education, character, all the things that go to make a person what they are, is being unrolled like a panorama in your effort to express yourself. Every mental faculty is quickened, every power of thought and expression stirred and spurred. When you are a speaker, you summon all your reserves of experience, of knowledge, of natural or acquired ability, and mass all your forces in the endeavor to express yourself with power, and to capture the approval and applause of your audience. On the other hand, when you are a writer, you have the advantage of being able to wait on your moods. You can write when you feel like it, and you know that you can burn your manuscript again and again if it does not please you. There are not 1,000 eyes upon you. You do not have a great audience criticizing every sentence, weighing every thought. You don't have to step on the scales of every listener's judgment to be weighed, as the public speaker does. Instead, you may write as listlessly as you please. Use much or little of your brain or energy, just as you choose or feel like doing. No one is watching you. Your pride and vanity are not touched, and what you write may never be seen by anyone. And also, there is always a chance of revision. In music, whether vocal or instrumental, what you give out is only partially your own. The rest is the composer's. In conversation, you do not feel that so much depends upon your words. Only a few persons hear them, and perhaps no one will ever think of them again. But when you attempt to speak before an audience, all props are knocked out from under you. You have nothing to lean upon. You can get no assistance, no advice. You must find all your resources in yourself. You stand absolutely alone. There is no class of people put to such a severe test of showing what is in them as public speakers. No other people who run such a risk of exposing their weak spots or making fools of themselves in the estimation of others, as do the speech givers. You may have millions of dollars, broad acres of land, and you may live in a palace, but none of these will avail you now. Your memory, your experience, your education, your ability are all you have. You will be measured by what you say, what you reveal of yourself in your speech. You will stand or fall in the estimation of your audience. Anyone who lays any claim to culture should train themselves to think on their feet so that they can, at a moment's notice, rise and express themselves intelligently. And yet we all know successful men and women who are not able to stand on their feet in public, even to make a few remarks, without trembling like an aspen leaf. They had plenty of opportunities when they were young, at school or in debating clubs, to get rid of their self-consciousness and to acquire ease and facility in public speaking. But they always shrank from every opportunity because they were timid or felt that somebody else could handle the debate or questions better. There are plenty of business people today who would give a great deal of money if they could only go back and improve the early opportunities for learning to think and speak on their feet which they threw away. Now they have money, they have position, but they are nobodies when called upon to speak in public. All they can do is look foolish, blush, stammer out an apology, and sit down. The effort to express one's ideas in lucid, clean-cut, concise, telling English tends to make one's everyday language choicer and more direct, and to improve one's diction generally. In this and other ways, speech-making develops mental power and character. This explains the rapidity with which young people develop in school or college when they begin to take part in public debates or in debating societies. Every individual, says Lord Chesterfield, may choose good words instead of bad ones and speak properly instead of improperly. we all may have grace in our motions and gestures, and may be a very agreeable, instead of disagreeable, speaker, if we will but take the time and care to become so. In thinking on your feet before an audience, you must think quickly, vigorously, effectively. At the same time, you must speak through a properly modulated voice, with proper facial and bodily expressions and gestures. This requires practice. Nothing will tire an audience more quickly than monotony, everything expressed on the same dead level. There must be variety. The human mind tires very quickly when this is not supplied. This is especially true of a monotonous tone. It is a great art to be able to raise and lower the voice with sweet flowing cadences which please the ear. As William Gladstone once said, 99 people in every 100 never rise above mediocrity, because the training of the voice is entirely neglected and considered of no importance. Public speaking, thinking on one's feet, is a powerful educator, except to the thick-skinned person, the one who has no sensitivity or who does not care for what others think of them. Nothing else so thoroughly discloses your weaknesses, or shows up your limitations of thought, your poverty of speech, your narrow vocabulary. Nothing else is such a touchstone of character, and the extent of one's reading, the carefulness or carelessness of your observation, as your public utterances. You must be careful to secure a good vocabulary by good reading and a dictionary. You must know words. The close, compact statement is imperative. Learn to stop when you get through. Do not keep stringing out conversation or argument after you have made your point. You only neutralize the good impression you have made, weaken your case, and prejudice people against you for your lack of tact, good judgment, or sense of proportion. It is so easy and tempting, especially for students in school or college, to shrink from public debates or speaking, on the grounds that they are not quite well enough educated at present. They want to wait until they can use a little better grammar, until they have read more history and more literature, until they have gained a little more culture and ease of manner. But the way to acquire grace, ease, facility, the way to get poise and balance so that you will not feel disturbed in public gatherings, is to get the experience. Do the thing so many times that it will become second nature to you. If you have an invitation to speak, no matter how much you may shrink from it, or how timid or shy you may be, resolve that you will not let this opportunity for self-engagement slip by you. Even if you fail on the platform, it will have good results, for it often arouses a determination to conquer the next time. It is not the speech, but the person behind the speech, that wins the way to the front. One individual carries weight, because they are themselves the embodiment of power. They are themselves convinced of what they say. There is nothing of the negative, the doubtful, the uncertain in their nature. They not only know a thing, but they know that they know it. Their opinion carries with it the entire weight of their being. Lastly, remember that you must be sincere. The public is very quick to see through shams. If the audience sees a furtive eye, that you are not honest, that you are acting, they will not take any stock in you. It is not enough to say a pleasing thing, an interesting thing. you must be able to convince. And to convince others, you must have strong convictions, born from a strong character.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.